Welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. From the Arts Desk at Muncie Civic Theater, The Color Purple runs through May 2nd. Todd Sandman of the theater tells us about the show.
Our production is directed by Ball State Professor Dee Dee Batiste, and Ball State Professor Jody Cotton is our music director. Choreography is by Anteria LeSueur and our city's very own Terry Witt Bailey. Both ladies are in the show as well. Terry Witt Bailey is one of the church ladies, along with Chandra Ford and Denise Hurt, Demetria Jackson. There's just a great group of ladies who were also in Dreamgirls last year. We've got Kirsten Hodgins in the role of Celie, and we have Amanda Hummer, who plays Sophia. So it's a really strong cast. They're doing a lot of great work. And of course, we have the great Brenda Russell, who is one of the writers of the music for this production.
Todd Sandman of Muncie Civic Theater, which is showing The Color Purple through May 2nd. Elsewhere, the Paramount Theater in Anderson has two groups on May 9th, Flynnville Train and Blessed Union of Souls. And Muncie Symphony Orchestra has its Festival on the Green on June 13th. Our country is aging, you know that. People over 65 represented 12% of the population in 2000, but will account for 19% by 2030. As that happens, we can expect the population of those with Alzheimer's to grow. Right now, about 5 million people have the condition, and 96% of them are over 65. Two-thirds of the victims are women. About 1 in 3 seniors dies with Alzheimer's or dementia, according to the Alzheimer's Association. The disease cannot be cured, but a national group, Music and Memory, is working to make life better for some patients. Locally, a Ball State professor and some students are doing this, sharing music with patients, one-on-one, sharing time, and making a profound difference. Erin Daly, a freshman education major, told us about it.
Typically, when we go, we'll walk in the doors, say hi to our residents who like to sit out in the front. Then we walk back to our little room, and we get our supplies, and that includes like headphones for the residents, splitters so we can all listen together, iPods and earbuds for the volunteers, and most of the time we'll spend a little bit of time in the common area, and then after we spend that time, we'll go over to the Alzheimer's unit, and we'll gather all the residents and put them in the dining hall. And usually we have 4 or 5 tables that we set up, and all of them are full. It's amazing. And we put the headphones on the residents. We put in our headphones, and we plug up all the splitters and the iPods, and we start listening with them.
And you're listening to music with the folks?
Yes, we are.
Tell me what that's like.
It's amazing. I love it. To see them light up in a way that they probably don't light up anymore. It's amazing. They sing, they dance. We have one gentleman who cries out of joy. We truly are like family, and they're like family to us. And it's just amazing.
Can you think of a particular time when you were doing this, a time that sticks out in your memory?
I'd have to say the first time I went was probably the most memorable experience. I was working with a gentleman who cries, and I wasn't expecting that reaction at all. I was just expecting like a smile, like some movement, but he started like weeping. And that just, it threw me off guard, and I couldn't help but cry myself because I was just so happy that he was having such a positive reaction to what we were doing.
What a difference you made for that person.
Yeah.
Kind of gets you, doesn't it?
It does, it's a powerful thing.
And what kind of music are you, if you were explaining it to somebody, you'd say, well, you're listening to music with them, but what is it that you're listening to with them?
Most of the time we listen to gospel music, but it is personalized based off the resident. So it really just depends on what the resident tells us, or if they can't communicate what they want, we talk to family members if they're available. But most of the time it's gospel music.
Anything about this surprise you that you weren't expecting?
I wasn't expecting such a positive reaction. It's amazing how they react and how even the sense of like from volunteering, the sense that volunteers get, Like, I could go in having the worst day I could ever imagine, and when I go and when I leave the nursing home after working with them, it's like nothing ever happened. It's amazing. I love it.
Why do you think it matters so much to them?
I think it's a source of comfort. I think it shows them that they are not alone, and they may not think they're alone, but it's a source of like familiarity, routine, comfort, love, and just hope and joy, I think.
It's a high point of their week when you come by.
I was telling you a little bit about the people who sit by the door. As soon as we walk in, they know, like they are smiling already, like we're saying hello, they're like waving. And we have one resident, she's a lady, she doesn't really talk that much. But when we come in, she like waves, she smiles, she's like doing like head nods and everything. It's just very sweet.
You've done other kind of volunteer work before.
Yes. I'm an education major, so most of my volunteering is with children or with like a library or something to do with education in the public. Most of that work was just kind of like menial tasks that they give you to stay busy. But this, like, I really feel involved. Like, I really feel like I am making a difference in these these residents' lives. And that is ultimately one of the best feelings I could ever feel.
The music has an effect on them.
Yes, the music relaxes them, and there have been cases where, like, we'll ask them a couple questions before we do the music, and they don't really remember things, they're not sure. The man who cries, he couldn't really tell you when he was born, where he was born, if he was married, or if he had children. But after a music session, which it depends on the time range, 30 minutes to an hour, just whenever we're there, he can tell us those things. I don't know, I've done research on this. It's the way the brain processes it. I don't know if it helps the mind be more open. I'm not sure. I do know that they can remember more things though.
Music is often a trigger for memories. We'll
yes.
hear a song and it takes us
yes,
back.
Right.
Were you familiar with all these songs or did you hear them?
There were a couple I weren't familiar with, but after being there for so long, I could pretty much tell you any song we listened to.
So when you hear one of these songs now, does it ever make you think of the folks that you've worked with?
Oh, definitely. Yes, definitely. I could be going to church or I could be just in general public. And if they're playing one of the resident songs, I immediately think of those people. It's just, I love them so much. They're like family. They really are.
Aaron Daly, a Ball State freshman and part of a group called Music and Memory, led by telecommunications professor Mike Gerhard.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com.
Tyler Swerkman, we are Ball State Student of Volunteers who bring personalized iPods and personalized music to nursing home residents who struggle with Alzheimer's and dementia. I would have to say that's a really uplifting experience and it's truly inspiring because to see music reach into the minds of people who are struggling with Alzheimer's and dementia, and to see them practically come alive and become a completely different person 5 minutes later is inspiring and it's uplifting, it's exciting, and I can't help but leave with a smile on my face at the end of the day when we volunteer, because knowing that we brought them out of the shadows for a little while and made their day so much better.
Can you think of a day when you did that sticks in your memory?
One of the residents that I worked with, one day, and it was the very first day we had worked with her, and she was very severe dementia. She was completely gone. You could sit there and talk to her, wave your hand in front of her, and there was nothing at all. And we put the music on her, and it took a little while, and it was very interesting because we sat there for the longest time, and I think we went through 3 or 4 songs, and we were just like, oh my goodness, we really want to get through to her. We're trying so hard to get through to her, and there was nothing. And then there was one song that I came on that I can't fully remember, but it was an old gospel song that came on, and we started seeing her hand move a little bit. And then all of a sudden, her hand started tapping. And at that moment is when we knew that we were tapping in. She was finally kind of ticking on the music. And we asked her at that end of the song, we said, you know, are you enjoying the music? Do you like that? And she went, mm-hmm. So we worked so hard for that 10 or 15 minutes to get through to her and get something out of her, to get her to say hello or something like that. Nothing. We listened to music with her for 10 or 15 minutes and she says she's enjoying it. That's inspiring. That's what's so uplifting. And it's truly amazing.
Have you ever done anything like this before?
I've never done anything like this before. I was really scared when we first went into the nursing home. My grandmother had Alzheimer's, and I didn't get to know her very well, which was really upsetting. And I really wish we could have had this experience for her when she was still alive. And I was really scared of nursing homes when I was a kid, you know, and sometimes I'm still scared of them.
It's a little off-putting at first,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, and you know, what alleviates that, I guess, frightfulness or the scaredness, I guess, is knowing the work that we're doing is really, really touching people, and it's really making people feel alive.
The truth is that some of these folks don't get many visitors.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the first things that really upset me when we first walked in, when we started last year, was that there weren't many people there, or there were not very, very many visitors. And we had talked to the activities director, we talked to the director of the nursing home and asked, you know, what kind of music do these folks like so that we can build their personalized playlist just for them, you know? And they're like, well, we don't really know because there's not a lot of family that comes in. We can try our best to reach out to family, but, you know, there's not a lot of family that comes in and visits them. And at that moment is when I think it touches us volunteers a lot, because we look at a lot of the residents that we work with as our family members. We've become so attached to them, and we love going there every week or twice a week and bringing this music to them. And in a way, these residents have, you know, begun to remember who we are. Some of them remember our names and look forward to that Sunday, look forward to that Wednesday when we come in. And, you know, it's upsetting to know that their actual family doesn't come, but it's also exciting to know that we can be their family, we can be there, we can be compassionate, we can be loving with them, and really share in a truly inspiring and exciting event with them.
Your own grandmother suffered from this condition. For people who haven't had that experience, what was that like?
The experience was really upsetting because, like I said, I was a really young kid, so I didn't really know her a lot. But I remember the times of how upset she would be at times, or walking in and seeing her and her having a fit and, you know, screaming and yelling at people that were her son and daughter, or
her loved
granddaughter,
ones.
Loved ones, anybody. Seeing her, you know, want to hit them, or because she was scared. And it's not because it's not her fault. She was just scared. And I think it's just really upsetting to see someone so lost in their own mind. It's truly frightening to think that this is a disease. But again, it brings me back to why I love this organization so much, is because we can alleviate that disease for an hour or two. And you know, and I always refer to it as bringing them out of the shadows and back into the light for just a split second, or, you know, that 1 hour, you know, once or twice a week is truly incredible.
Why do you think the music does that?
I think music's just so inspiring. It's so cool. It's, our generation is so enveloped by the music industry, and, you know, there's so many songs that come out that everybody's like, this is my jam, this is my beat. And, you know, it's not just our generation, it's their generation as well. There were, you know, Elvis and all these great role models and these great singers that had hits during their time. And we are all gonna remember those hits. When we reach, you know, 60, 70, 80 years old, we're gonna remember those hits. I'm gonna, oh my gosh, throwback. That's what we call it now. We call it a throwback. But really, that's just connecting with bringing back all these memories.
Ball State student Tyler Sparkman of St. Joe, Indiana, north of Fort Wayne, part of the Music and Memory group of students who visit people suffering from Alzheimer's and dementia and listen to music with them as a way of stimulating their memories and engagement with the world. Coming up, this has had an amazing effect on the patients and on the students, too.
Just beyond the shining river,
Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
We're talking about Music and Memory. It's a Muncie group that's part of a national movement to use music to reach people suffering from Alzheimer's and dementia. Students from Ball State University and Burris Laboratory School are visiting patients with memory loss, bringing them music selections from the seniors' younger days, and then listening with them, each of them wearing headphones. The results are remarkable. People with severe memory loss, sometimes withdrawn and afraid, reconnecting with the world as the music triggers happy memories. Callie Norris is a 17-year-old senior at Burris.
This is one of the most amazing programs I've ever been involved in or heard of, just because you get to experience something that's so special with not only the residents of the nursing home, but other people your age. I've met so many other amazing people that are volunteers with this, and it's amazing to see them, how happy it makes them and how much of a difference it makes in their day.
You know, in our everyday life, when people are in high school and college, they really don't have a lot of contact with people in their 70s and 80s. What have you learned in the course of all of this?
I've just learned that people that are older, sometimes, like, they are a lot more children-like, and I think it teaches you a lot about how you can handle situations in life. It's given me more patience with the people around me, and it's opened my heart up a lot.
It's opened your heart up a lot.
Yes.
Tell me about that a little bit.
It's made me more caring about the people around me, and it has definitely let me see the world differently, because you don't have to donate $1 million to a charity to do something good. You can just listen to a song with one person a day, and it makes all the difference.
You know, on the one hand, dementia, Alzheimer's, these are terrible diseases. On the other hand, these are people who have these, and you're able to help these people.
It's the most amazing feeling, especially when you're working with someone that you know is a little bit far gone, and you listen to them and they just look at you and they start telling you things about their past. I was actually working with a man Sunday, and we were sitting outside, and he loved that because they don't get to go outside very much. And he was talking about how beautiful the day was and how much it meant to him, and then he started telling me stories about him being in World War II. He was talking about, like, where he lived, and he likes music so much because he used to be a dancer, and he would dance for the war veterans every Saturday and Sunday. And he was talking to me about the jitterbug and all the other dances they do.
You've really connected with some of these people.
Oh, yeah. They always tell us that they love us. And this Sunday we had a man tell us, he said, "It's so nice of you to take an interest in us, and I just hope it comes back to you someday." And it's really rewarding to know that they hope that we get it back and to know that they appreciate what we're doing.
In a way, you've kind of already gotten it back, haven't you?
Yes. It makes you feel like so much of a better person. It treats like mental health. If you're ever feeling sad or anxious, you can go in there and you don't even think about yourself anymore.
Mike Gerhardt, an associate professor of telecommunications, leads the group.
I think what I'm most proud of the whole outreach is that it's pretty simple. We inspire these young people to be better citizens, and to make a difference in the community. What's amazing, you'll see an Alzheimer's, a resident who can't tell you what year they were born in, whether they were married, if they have any kids or not, what they just had for lunch, but they remember the lyrics to dozens of songs. Now, I'm not a neuroscientist. I don't know what's happening in their heads and in their neural pathways. I know what I can observe, and what I can observe is absolutely beautiful, because we not only trigger memories, but I think we see a broad range of effects. One thing we do is simply just bring happiness and joy. We're in the happiness business, really, with this outreach. Some of these residents have an incredible kind of joyful activation that we see. We call it lighting them up, okay? Or they come alive inside. But they go from being pretty still and motionless to being active, okay, and animated and bouncy sometimes, and clapping their hands and smiling and tapping their feet and their, you know, their fingertips and everything. And we see that as an effect sometimes. That really doesn't have anything to do with memories. It's just bringing joy to somebody. Some of the residents have deeply profound spiritual experiences, almost transcendent kind of experiences. You know that they're close to the divine or their maker. What they feel is the divine.
How does it affect the students?
I think it affects the student volunteers actually more than it affects the residents sometimes, which is, I think, is one of the most beautiful parts about this. I think it really helps primarily with their mental health and their spiritual health. Most of the kids are not over there to get a line on their resume or something. They're over there out of a deep desire to be of service to another human being. And I think there's deep spiritual lessons here. I frame it as moral philosophy about getting out of self, being of service to another human being. A lot of these kids, this might be the first time they've actually transcended self, where they've forgotten about themselves completely and focused on the needs of another human being. And they're discovering by doing that, they find something pretty important and magical inside themselves.
What do they tell you?
One of the common things I hear is, I could be having the worst day in the world, and I can come over here for just a few minutes, and my heart is smiling, it's golden, and everything's okay. That's a heck of a thing. I've had students who have told me, oh, some of these kids, I've seen their self-esteem elevated. They have much more self-confidence. As a result of this, because they do something and they're actually getting results, immediate results, and feeling like they have more meaning and purpose in their lives. And they keep showing up. See, they'll show up on a holiday, on the most beautiful Sunday warm afternoon. They're at the nursing home, so they must be getting incredible gratifications if they're coming there on holidays and on weekends and when there's other things to do.
State Associate Professor Mike Gerhard from the Department of Telecommunications with Callie Norris, senior at Burris, talking about music and memory. Students listen to music with nursing home residents, helping those with Alzheimer's and dementia and other residents just glad for the company and compassion. They serve residents at one Muncie nursing home and have just now added a second. For more information, you can find Mike Gerhard, that's G-E-R-H-A-R-D, in the Ball State online directory, or call me and I'll get you connected. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. We also want to thank Tyler Eads for help on the Music and Memory segment. Glad you could join me this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture of Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.